Let me ask you please to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. If you're a little unfamiliar with the scripture, you'll find the Gospel of Luke in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. We're reading at the second chapter. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor in Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying, which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. May the Lord bless reading of his word to our hearts this morning. Please bow with me for a word of prayer. Our Father, we have read again this morning these very familiar words. And I ask, Lord, that the wonder of them would never leave our minds. Dear Lord, come near to us today, I pray. Open our understanding to the Word of God. Dear Father, I pray that I will be filled with the Spirit of God to make the Word of Christ crystal clear. Lord, do not let anyone misunderstand. Write Thy truth upon every heart. Pray for those who are unsaved this morning, bring them to Christ, we ask. And those who maybe have known the Lord for some time, but maybe the heart had become a little cold, Well, Lord, breathe upon us today and warm us. Draw near. Let us rejoice again in the wonder of this great message. Hear our prayer today. Be with us now. We ask thee in Jesus' holy name. Amen. The greatest message that has ever been told. That's the title of my word to you today, the greatest message that has ever been told. In the book of Proverbs, we are told that as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. You know, we like to hear good news. We all know that good news comes in varying degrees. Well, some good news is more important than others. Not too long ago, in the school, it was announced that we were going to be having a snow day. Well, whenever there is a snow day announced, the students are rather pleased. The teachers aren't too disappointed either, I can tell you that. But if you don't get a snow day, a little disappointed, but it's no big deal in the great scheme of things. But if you have been diagnosed with an illness, a life-threatening illness, and upon further investigation, you find out that you have been misdiagnosed, and a simple remedy cures your problem. My, that is good news to you. That is very happy news. And so there are varying degrees of things that we find good. But there's a plenty, there's a heap of bad news, and sometimes we hear so much of it that someone would say, well, is there anything good that you have to tell me? We all want to hear that which is positive, that which is reinforcing, encouraging, because it gives to us a sense of peace. It gives joy. It gives relief from the pressures of life. Good news is something that we want to hear. And this message that the shepherds heard, it was brought by the angel to these simple men who were watching their flocks on a Judean hillside. And the message came, the Savior is born. As we consider the wonder of this greatest of messages, may the Lord take away from us today any degree of ho-hum, I've heard this before. No, friend. Pray right now that that very thought would be taken away from you, and it would be exchanged with the wonder, the marvel of the immeasurable meaning of this great message and this event, and that we will see it have a fresh impact upon our lives. The first thing I leave with you is this. The good news, it was real and it was in time. It was real and in time. Or we could put it another way, it was real-time news. The long-promised Messiah had come. And you know, every Jewish person realized that the Messiah had been prophesied in the law and the prophets and in the Psalms. And they foretold that God would send a deliverer. He would send a Savior. Now the Lord had sent deliverers and saviors in the past to release His people from their present bondage. And Hebrews 11 gives us a list of those deliverers. But they knew that there was coming a day when there would be one deliverer, one Savior, who they called Messiah, the Anointed One. And they looked with anticipation. He was prophesied from the very beginning, For he is the seed of the woman that was spoken of to Eve, promised in the book of Genesis. He was the offering instead of Isaac, as Abraham lifted that knife over his only begotten son. And God said, I will send to you a Savior. And Messiah, he was the antitype of Joseph. Because you'll remember Joseph was given a name by Pharaoh, Zaphnath-Paaneah. And some have interpreted that as being the Savior of the world. And so we think of the coming Messiah. Yes, the Savior that was to come. But the Lord Jesus was also the captain of the Lord's host that appeared unto Joshua. He was the fourth one standing in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and delivered them from their certain death. He is also called Messiah, the righteous man, the branch. And Jeremiah makes this statement, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And of course, the great prophet Isaiah, what did he say? He said, Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and a virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And now, my friends, the message to the lowly shepherds is not Christ will be born, but that he is born. They were the ones to receive that great word. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. This is real time news. And there is no better news at that day to a world that was condemned, a world that was lost, a world that was given over to sin and reeling in hatred and war and lust and despair and satanic power. And the people had no hope, and there was no peace, and they had no love. This, my friends, is the gospel message of good news and glad tidings. The ones who were dead in sins, destined for hell, yet they now have been given a door of hope. An escape route has been opened for them, being delivered. My, here was the real message of truth. We don't like to be given something that is not real. If someone tries to pawn something off on you that's a knockoff or a lookalike, and they put it forward as being the real thing, well, we're not really interested in that. If someone tries to sell you a Rolex watch for $100, it's either hot or it is an imposter. It's not the real thing. Not too long ago, I received a jacket purchased in one of these retail stores, and it was a good deal. It looked like leather. It felt like leather. It even smelled a bit like leather. But in searching for the label, genuine leather, it could not be found. Well, upon further investigation, it turned out to be what is called faux leather. It's plastic, vinyl. It's synthetic. It wasn't the real thing. You know, my friend, there are synthetic Christs. There are synthetic religions. And the Lord Jesus told of this in his lifetime. He said, there are those who are going to say, here is Christ and there is Christ. Follow them not. Know this, that the devil comes with his impostors and those who pretend to be the real thing, but they are not. And these religions, they say, if you follow, you will find peace and love and satisfaction. And I suppose in some elements, they have those there. Because people who follow religions that are not the true thing, they may have a degree of satisfaction, a degree of peace, maybe a degree of love. And they're convinced themselves that all is okay, and the devil has continued to blind their eyes, their minds. They do not have the real thing. Their religion is based upon doing good works, upon self-justification. But there is only one who can deliver the promise of eternal life. There's only one who can forgive sins. There is only one who is the Redeemer of God's elect, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you today, friend, do you know Him? Is He your Savior? He is Christ the Lord. Is He your Lord today? Yes, this was real news and in time. And there's something else about this news. It was good news that was earth-shattering. It certainly shattered the silence of that night outside Bethlehem. Well, these shepherds, they were the night watchmen. They had what is sometimes called the graveyard shift. There's no indication at all that they expected anything out of the ordinary. As they watched the sun go down on that evening, they went to watch their flocks as they had done many other nights. Only this night was different. And as they settled themselves down looking for a quiet evening, suddenly an angel appeared unto them. And it was to these faithful stewards, as they watched their flocks, they were not sleeping. God came upon them. And this earth-shattering announcement, it understandably shocked them. And they were stricken with fear at the sudden appearance of the angel. And the glory of God appeared around them. And whatever that means, the glory of God appeared, they knew this was something very significant. And we are told that they were sore afraid. The word sore here is megas. It means big, exceeding, great. And it's combined with another word, phobos, fear. And so we could say that they had big fear. They had great mega fear. They were sore afraid. But no sooner had the angel appeared, the first words he spoke to them were, "Fear not." That's just like the Lord. As He comes, revealing His glory, and human beings struck with fear, yet He brings words of peace, words of comfort. And He says that to you today, friend, fear not. For this greatest message that comes with hope to a hopeless heart, and maybe that's your heart this morning, the Lord comes and says, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." And the angel's message was one that would bring peace to them, peace to a troubled world. Never would the world be the same again. For the coming of the Son of God, it was to save human nature, to be the Savior of His people. It was the most wonderful event of all time. There was not just a life changing, it was a world changing event that occurred. And it was inconceivable for humankind because we have grace and mercy being given by the Almighty God in such a degree when sending His only begotten Son. How could anyone imagine the cost? How could anyone enter into the Lord giving Himself, being changed forever, taking on human nature? These things go beyond our comprehension. As the hymn writer wrote, "True God of true God, light of light eternal, lo, He abhors not the virgin's womb, Son of the Father, begotten, not created. Oh, come, let us adore Him." You know, when we stop and consider the implications of the incarnation of God becoming man, we're overwhelmed. And we ask the question, how can these things be? There's a word that describes that. It's called the theanthropic person of Christ. It's made up of two Greek words. One of them, theos, meaning God, and the other one, anthropos, which means man. And so when you combine these two words together, it is theos and anthropos, the God-man. And when we think about that term that describes the person of Christ, we have God's nature and man's nature united in one person, but it's not just for a period of time. Friend, it wasn't just for 3 years while the Lord was on earth. It is for all eternity. This was the condescension of God to become man. Can we understand this? Can this be brought into our mind? See, within the manger laid, Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth. How can we understand this? No human being can properly enter into this act of humiliation that was taken on by the Son of God. The measure, why, it is the distance between heaven and earth. It is something that goes beyond us because it's the separation or the distance between the Creator and the created. And when we think of humility, it's more than the heart of a proud man or a proud humanity can comprehend. When we think of the love of God to rebels and sinners like us, who we are speechless. We have no way to properly describe and understand this. And the question comes to us, what do we do, Christian, with such news? What is our obligation? What is upon us? Do we ignore it? Do we abuse it? Do we keep it to ourselves? The shepherds, they acted immediately, and they went to Bethlehem to see this great sight. And they saw the Savior, the baby Jesus. They saw Mary, they saw Joseph, they saw the whole setting. And God had confirmed it to them with their own eyes. And then they went and they spread the message as far and wide as they could. They told everyone they came in contact with, the Son of God is born, Messiah has come, we have seen Him, He is born. And that was the beginning of the news that would spread throughout all of Israel and the neighboring countries. And so people began to watch and look and see, and it would be, my friends, 30 years until the Savior would actually begin His earthly ministry in the full reason and purpose of what He came to do. But the seeds had been planted, and people now were looking out for and wondering. Yes, my friend, it was a real message. It was an earth-shattering message and news. Never would the world be the same again. And it was also the message of greatest joy. In verse 10, it tells us that the message was of good news or good tidings of great joy. It is interesting to note that the word great here for great joy, it's the same word that is used in verse 9 for the word sore. So we have the shepherds confronted with the angel, and they were very afraid. They were sore afraid. They were greatly afraid. But as soon as the message begins to come to them, he says, "Fear not, for I bring you glad tidings of great megas joy." They were stricken with fear. But as soon as that message came, that fear quickly evaporated and into their hearts poured greater joy. But you know something, as we come to this Christmas season, one of the tough things about Christmas time is that people don't feel sometimes very joyful. The bitterness of a recent death. And what about that family of the young girl who was killed on Friday night? What joy do they have at this time? And it may be that you have put someone into the grave recently, a loved one. Maybe you have some anxiety over a sick bed. Maybe there's a heartbreak because of a broken home. Maybe you have a feeling of loneliness and of frustration, of being misunderstood, and there could be a host of things that really have taken away your joy at this particular time. And you go on from there and you think about the news of violence and of war and bloodshed and of terrorists that have butchered children in the name of their God, and you go on and on and on, and you wonder, Lord, where is the joy and peace in the midst of all this carnage, all the suffering? And almost led to ask, is it a mockery to sing joy to the world? Is it a mockery to sing, "Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant"? You know, in light of that, what we cannot forget is this, that when this announcement came that the Messiah was born, think of what the world was like then. There was great unrest. There were tyrants that were ruling the empires of the world. There was great persecution against the people of God. There was violence and hatred and animosity. There was a devil work and demonic oppression that was going on to a great degree. And then you'll remember, shortly after the birth of Christ, the decree of Herod that all the children 2 years of age and under would be killed. We think too of the very life of Christ, for he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And so, friend, in light of that, there has been no time in history where you could not cite all of these great disasters and trials and difficulties, and yet the angel still came with this glorious message, the greatest message of all time. Christ is born. The Savior has come. There is hope. There is joy. There is peace to a world that is so reeling in sin. Christ is the great conqueror, the great victor. And he overcame Satan when he rose gloriously from the dead. And so, no matter what darkness, No matter what difficulty, friend, no matter what you are presently going through in your life, I introduce to you the Savior of your soul, the one who can give you what nothing else, no other religion, no other person can bring to you, and that is life and life eternal. And you can possess that today, now, where you are seated. Call out unto Him. Pray that Christ Jesus would come into your life, forgive you of your sin, and then you will be able to say, "Oh, let us magnify the Lord. Let me glorify Him. Let me thank Him, for He has come to be my Savior." The greatest message that has ever been told. I want to close the service today by singing, "O Come All Ye Faithful." We find it on hymn number 88. And friends, as we do this today and as we sing this, please pay close attention to these words and sing them as if you have sung them for the first time. And as we do, let us praise God for all He has given to us. Let's stand, please, to sing. Now our meeting, please, in prayer. Let us all be still before the Lord and
If God has been speaking to your heart today, friend, and you're not a believer, then I invite you, encourage you, appeal to you to come to Him. For there is no better Savior. There is no other Savior. There is only Christ Jesus the Lord. Submit and surrender your heart to Him today, that this may be for you the beginning of your life. Father, take, we pray, this word that was spoken today in human weakness, and oh God, write it upon every heart. Help us, strengthen us. May we come with renewed zeal to speak well of Christ our Savior. Lord, save those today who are still outside of Him. Hear this, our prayer now. Separate us in Thy fear, with Thy presence and blessing. Give us joy in the Holy Spirit. We ask all this in Jesus' worthy name. Amen.